are God. Ye are gods, and the scripture cannot be broken. But you're not God in soul, and you're not God in body. You are God in, say it, in spirit. All right, now before the cross, because there was no redemption for those spirits, they had to go in a place called Abraham's bosom, which is also Sheol, Gehenna, or hell, though we don't like to put the good guys in hell. They were there anyway, so we gave them a different name at that time. I mean, translation. But how many know the Bible says Jesus descended into hell? All right. And if you don't believe that, just read the Apostles' Creed. And then it says he preached to the spirits, because spirits cannot be annihilated. Now in hell, what can be annihilated? Soul and body, but not spirit. Then when he preached to the spirits, he took captivity captive, took them all back. He had the keys of death and hell. He turned to everybody there that was in the big auditorium, and he said, come on, boys, the gate's open. I got the way out. Follow me. Now, can you imagine anybody saying, nope, I like it here. I won't stay. I think not. I personally believe that Judas Iscariot is in heaven. Now, I'll let you think on that for a minute and see why. I got a few reactions. Judas Iscariot, I believe he's in heaven now. Because he died prior or before. But what part of Judas is in heaven? Not soul. That was dumb. Traded Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Body? No, we know what happened to it. Fell down, the bowels gushed out. You remember all that? Not body. It was what? Spirit. He was there with even who were the spirits of aforetime disobedient. When Jesus got down there and preached to him, do you think that Judas said, nope, sorry, Jesus, I'm staying here? I don't think so. And he took him with him. Isn't that what the Bible says? He took that captivity. He opened hell's gates. I don't think that there are any more spirits in there. In fact, now listen to this carefully. In the Old Testament, we find that when people died, spirit, soul, body, all three went to hell. What was annihilated?
Soul.
And body. Soul and body was annihilated. What was kind of put in limbo or on the shelf? Spirit, because you can't annihilate spirit. It came from God. And even though it wasn't rectified or ratified yet, nonetheless, it had to be stayed there until Jesus went down and took care of it. Then when Jesus opened hell's gates, what went up? Spirit, soul, or body? Spirits. The spirits went back, not the soul and not the body. Old Testament, all three went to hell. Since the cross, in this Bible, and I've looked, I cannot find ever one spirit going to hell. It's always soul and body, not spirit. Did you catch that? Now, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but you try to find an example. Since the cross. Now, prior to the cross, yes, I'll agree. Spirit, soul, and body, yes. Bad spirits, yes, hell. But since the cross, I cannot find any evidence that spirits go to hell, only souls and bodies. And that may help you a little bit, and it has helped me tremendously in counseling with the relatives of suicides and so forth. I don't know whether you caught that or not, but in counseling, it's very definite. The purpose of the counselor is to give hope, not to rub salt in the wounds, and to give the people a chance who are still here for happiness and a continuation of their own life and achievements and goals. Unfortunately, some of our Christian counselors, in order to prove their theology, rub salt and lots of wounds. Now, in the event that you should go crazy and do some awful things, what has to be punished? Say it. Your soul and your body. What? Now, the Bible says very clearly, as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. When Adam created his sin, or did the sin, what died? Spirit, soul, or body?
Spirit.
So in Christ shall all spirits be made alive. Don't change horses in the middle of the stream. If it was spirits that died in Adam, so spirits will be alive in the second Adam. Did you catch it? Spirits, not souls, not bodies. Now, there are those who do believe that Even after a person gives their heart to Jesus and does some dumb things and dies, that the soul and the body will be resurrected. But that's not what the Bible says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says there's a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And there's a difference between them. And there's a difference even between the spiritual bodies, because there's a difference in the glory between the sun, moon, and stars, and each star different from the other star in glory. So also is the anastasia, the resurrection of the dead. It's sown in dishonor, raised in honor. Sown in weakness, raised in power. It's sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. And then it goes on to say, and there is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. You know, I've been quoting right now, though I haven't taken the time to read. Now, what are we saying here? That in order to get man's difference between the spirit and soul and body, we have to be willing to see that there can be a different destiny for different parts of man. Now, that didn't go over, so let me try it again. Unless you get your head screwed on right, God doesn't want your head. Now, let me do... Well, here's the scripture to prove it. 1 Corinthians 6:20, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's," apostrophe S, "possessed by God." Your body and your spirit are possessed by God, but not your soul. So we're fearing Him who can destroy not just the body, but destroy both soul and body. For we're fighting against principalities and powers in high places, and the devil always attacks us in our thinking soul realm. Now, some people think the devil attacked during the fender bending experience. You're wrong. The Bible says very clearly, and Jesus promised, in the world you shall have your fender benders. And who sends fender benders? God sends fender benders. Now, you're not ready for that. Come on, mature. God sends fender benders. But when do they become attacks of the devil? When you think they're attacks of the devil. When you... say that again.
When you delegate him authority.
You tell him that, you know, this came from the devil. It didn't come from the devil. If you look at it as a learning experience from God, you'll come out, you know, smell like a rose. How many understood that? Smell like on the other side, see? But if you don't, and you apply, you know, the fender bender, and the fender benders of life come against us because God's trying to teach us a lesson, but if we attribute them to acts of the devil, you see, then He's working not on our fender, He's working on our soul mind. And He can't get to your fender until you lose your mind. Well, you caught that or not. Till you die. Then the corruption process starts in on your fenders. Well, never mind. Next point, I think I'll finish it, and then I'll teach the lesson. Acts 7:59, "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying," Stephen who did this, "Lord Jesus, receive my," what? "Spirit." When Stephen died, what part of Stephen was given over to the Lord Jesus Christ? Say it. What did he say? "Lord Jesus, receive my soul?" No. Well, how many know, and how many funerals do they talk about the soul going back? See? But I'm highly technical now, and I know it. "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit," not soul, not body, spirit. For Stephen knew what part was going back to heaven. He knew what part came from God. Ecclesiastes 12:7. What was it? The spirit came from God. The body dies, the spirit goes back to God who gave it in the first place. Matthew 27:50. Jesus, when he had cried with a great loud voice, yielded up the what? Say it. Well, it says ghost in Matthew, but I wish it would have said spirit, because the same word, pneuma. He yielded up the pneuma. He yielded up the spirit. What was gone? What left? Spirit. It was the spirit that went back. Somebody said the Romans killed Jesus. Somebody said Jesus was killed by the Jews. Well, there's a lot of problem in that. I'm not quite sure whether anybody killed Jesus, because the Bible's clear that he could have called 10,000 angels. He yielded up the ghost. He. yielded up the ghost. Apparently, there was some kind of an act. There was some kind of a mental consent when he yielded, through the mental consent process, and then the spirit left. It was not the soul, it was not the body. All right, well, I think we've established a few of those things. Now, when I operate in the spirit, when you operate in the spirit, you're operating from the eternal knowledge. You know everything. In the spirit, you've always known. The French have a word for it, and they call it what? Have you heard of déjà vu? Well, déjà vu. It's a knowing. It's a precognition. How many have heard of these things? But you don't get a precognition from your mind. You have a knowing in your heart spirit. And it comes up from within. And it's not because of something you can see or smell, taste, and feel. It's just there, and you know it. For no other reason than you know it. Most everybody here, at one time or another, have had those experiences. Come on, let's see your hands. You know, and you don't know why you know, but you know anyway. See? And there's no reason for knowing. Different words describe this thing. It's a knowing. It's an intuition. Help me out. I want to save that word for another thing. That's okay. What will I say here? Intuition. It's an intuition. It comes up from here. All right. Now, in that intuition thing, it's a knowing and it's a truth. But there's no way. Your mind is not operating. Your mind is working on something else and it just comes. You've had that. It just comes. Your mind wasn't there. Your mind was doing something else. An intuition in the Christian has always been right. Now, there are some areas of conscious or for a conscious sake and so forth, that before we give our hearts to Jesus, there's a question. But at least after you've given some kind of a assent with the mouth because of the belief in the heart, after you receive some words of the Bible to change your soul, then whatever comes out of the Spirit is right. So when I drew the picture of Tom Rose and connected the heart, well, let's go back and see if we can find his picture again. Connected the heart to his mouth. And if we could draw that with a dotted line, and if we could erase this dotted line from his head to his mouth, he would be a spiritual man. Always right. How many understood what I just said there? So I'm using Tom as my example because it was Tom's basement. And if I was in Harry's basement, I'd use Harry. or Jack or Louie, or, you know, you understand what I'm saying. This is each one of us. Now, when we rationalize and analyze, we rationalize in the mind, cibriate, and we're responding to our senses. And whatever the five senses have taught our brain, then it makes its decisions, and usually it's right, but it's not always right. How many knows that about someone else? But when we come up out of the heart, in every reference, and I got a whole bunch here, and you ought to get the green book, and I'm not going to take time tonight. All those are always right. But the problem is to always operate in the heart, not the head. Thus, you become a spiritual man. But there are times when, in addition to speaking from the heart, you can actually speak miraculously from our sixth sense, which is a miracle soul, or para-soul, para-psyche, beyond, parallel to, in the psyche realm. Psychic. They call them psychics. I wish they wouldn't call them psychics. I wish they would call them para-psyches, which would then be highly technically correct in the Greek. You've heard of so-and-so, he's a psychic reader, psychic prophecies. You've heard all that, you see. All right, now, how do we operate in the psyche? Well, one way we do it is just by seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, feeling. That's in the psyche, and there's nothing wrong with it. If I were to stand here right now tonight and see someone coming down the steps, limp across the floor to a chair and sit down, and if I were to announce to you, the Lord has just shown me through the Spirit that He wants to lengthen legs tonight, Would I be telling the truth?
No.
Say it real loud.
No.
No. Because the Lord is a spirit, and He didn't show me through the spirit. He showed me through the seers, monotheism, field realm, the psyche realm. And I made a psyche discovery through the normal psyche realm. There was a person in need. If I said here, standing in front of you, I believe the Lord is showing me there's a man in need here tonight, would that be all right? Yeah. Because the Lord works in the psyche realm. He can work in the parapsyche realm. He can work in the spirit. He can work in any realm. In fact, all prayer lines start out in the psyche. What do? They come up in front of the guy. He reaches out his hand and he says, "What's the problem? What shall I pray for?" Right? Have you been there? Or he notices some kind of problem and he begins to pray. When I say all, that's not quite true. So then if we would operate in the psyche realm in receiving input that there is a need for prayer, there's nothing wrong with that. Have you ever been to service where they pull out a list and said, these are the prayer requests that have been phoned in? In what realm did you receive that information? Say it. Soul, mind, realm. There's nothing wrong with that. But to operate and claim that spiritual is wrong, and some people, because it happened in church, say it's spiritual. We caught that or not, but I'm going to come back. Just because they read the prayer list in church doesn't make it spiritual. It's still operating on what realm? The mind, not the heart, but the mind. Now, when the heart... And I don't know, I can't remember, but once in a while, in reading those prayer lists in church, the heart takes over. But has few and far between. I don't know whether you've... Is that true? Have you noticed that in the big prayer lists, about 8 people that are in the hospital and they read it to you and all that kind of stuff? And it's just another part of the exercise in order to get to the end of the service. Come on. But once in a while, you get out of your head and into the heart for this person or that person. usually you get busy when that person's in your family. But if it's just some other name that, you know, that you hardly recognize, it goes on by in one ear and out the say it, because it's in what realm? But sometimes it gets to your heart and you really believe it and you really begin to pray for that person, right? And then when that happens, you get results. Every time. See? Now comes another problem. The Bible says there is a sickness unto death. I say not that thou should pray for it. Do you remember that scripture? You don't remember it? Somebody nod their heads. Everybody knows. Yes, there is a sickness unto death. I say not that you should pray for it. Now what's that mean? If I were to read you a prayer request list of the people that are in the hospital, and you responded from your mind, would you ask God to heal them all?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Of course you would. But some of them, I hope I don't say this wrong, some of them are just not going to be healed. And you're never going to pick that up in the soul realm. That has to come from the heart, spirit. Now, at this stage, I want to get kind of sensitive, and I want to ask you, how many of you at times have been asked to pray for someone's healing, and you just couldn't really do it? You couldn't get with it. How many have had that experience? Or then you know what I'm talking about, you see. Now, does that mean that you're callous? Does that mean that you're bad? You see? No. It's there's something else coming to you. And it can't be from the mind, because in the mind realm, you would want every person to get healed. I assume you're Christian or have some kind of moral principles and ethics. But there are times it just doesn't click. It doesn't come out. And at those times, you're operating back into the Pauline thing, where he said, "Now I say not that you should pray for that one." And you're getting that signal from the soul or spirit. Where? Well, we hope from the spirit. We hope you're not so mad at that person that that's the reason you're not praying for them. I hope you caught that too. I mean, there are, I guess, sometimes when people are just so mad, I hope you die, those kind of things. But we hope you're more mature than that. Now, when we operate in the spirit, that means that our heads are cut off. I'm going to do that again. When we're operating in the spirit, innermost parts, bowels, torso, sending signals up to the mouth, and it's speaking, and the head, brain, is gone. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the cause of Christ and the testimony they held. You remember that? Revelation chapter 6, verse 8, under the altar. Don't you remember? And I saw under the golden altar the souls of them that were beheaded. I looked up the word beheaded, and the word beheaded is, there's only one time that Greek word is used in the whole Bible. Now, there's another word for beheaded that's used lots of times to decapitate. John the Baptist was decapitated by Herod. Remember that? But this beheaded is a different beheaded. And I saw the souls of them that were chopped away at with an axe for the cause of Christ and the testimony they held. Do you see this difference now? Now, if you're chopped away at with an axe, when does the last piece of brain go? Well, on the last chop. The whole purpose of Bible teaching and the Holy Spirit coming upon you is to chop away at your carnal mind with the axe or sword of the Spirit, sword of the Word, and chop away at your carnal mind, replace it with the mind of Christ. Then the soul will be beheaded, but you won't be soulless. You'll have a new one. You'll have a new mind. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. The things I once hated, now I love. And the things I once loved, now... You remember all that. All right, this is a new mind. But the old minds are gone, chopped away at with an axe. And in order to be in the Spirit, we cannot be in the soul. We cannot operate in the soul. In that realm, we have to learn to turn our mind off and not think. And when we're not thinking, when our mind is quiet, you've heard the services, hold steady, be quiet before the Lord. You've heard them say that. And you settle down. Now, during our Pentecostal experiences, we call them spiritual, but they're really very satisfying to the, say it, soul. And they're very active in the which realm? Soul-mind realm. Because the Holy Spirit makes entry into the soul, and He's changing the soul, but that's not an experience of the heart speaking. It's only the Holy Spirit bringing to remembrance or teaching. Yes, it's spiritual because the Holy Spirit's operating, but it's not eternal truth that's coming up from the Spirit. It's things that you can remember or teach. Now let's do that again. I don't know whether that made sense to anybody or not. The Holy Spirit teaches you all things, brought all things to your remembrance. But when you have this deja vu or all-knowing, it's when your head is cut off and you speak from your heart. And when we have visions for people, some of you are aware of the fact, as I have visions, just don't ask me, don't bother to ask me about the vision next day. Because I can't remember it unless you recall it to me. Because the soul mind is not operating. But there is a realm where your mind can actually perform miracles, and it's not your heart. And that's where I'm headed to now. It's the parapsychic realm. In the parapsychic realm, you can project, you can think, you can visualize, you can concentrate, and if you have developed these gifts, some people call gifted who do this, they can actually operate outside the see, hear, smell, taste, and feel realm by thinking, visualizing, concentrating, perceiving, and projecting their minds. It's called mind reading, mind control, and that kind of stuff. Now, I want to do that tonight to demonstrate a point, but before I do that, I have to tell the story. While I was down in Florida, the most satisfying thing that could happen to me in this realm proved a point. This German doctor had all this electronic equipment to measure the signals of the mind, the brain. And I had the opportunity of being a subject in his laboratory. And he had the wires on my head, and my brain was sending the signals to the oscilloscopes and so forth. And then I did what I normally do when I go into the spirit. And his instruments immediately detected that I entered an altered state of consciousness where my mind immediately went to sleep. I'm going to say that again. The electronic equipment proved that my mind was not cerebrating, was not analyzing. And that's wonderful for me to know because I believe in electronics. You don't understand, I'm an electronic engineer. I understood that equipment. And when the equipment proved, like a thermometer, proved a fact, a physiological fact that I was not aware of, I could have never been aware of until I had this, what we call biofeedback stuff, then it proved my mind was asleep even though I was physically sitting in the chair, my eyes were open. How many of you, at times, sit in the chair with your eyes open and fall asleep at church or somewhere else? You know, one of the best places I do that I know that I do that is when I'm on an interstate at about 55. My mind sometimes goes to sleep. Well, I was in this chair, and the mind went to sleep, but I was still awake, and I was having visions. In this case, I was praying in the spirit. And you see, when you pray in the spirit, then you don't pray in your... For the spirit makes intercession. Not the mind, not the soul, but the spirit. And over the years, those of us who've had some experience in going back and forth have developed these techniques. Sometimes there are those who can go more quickly and easily than others, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just a matter of your own maturity and development. In the realm of maturity, I think I'll talk about that and then come back to sitting in the chair with the guy. The Bible says, the strong meat belongs to them who by reason of use have their senses exercised. Oh, by the way, who are full age and have their senses exercised to discern good from evil. That means we see our smell, taste, and feel, that we exercise our senses, and we finally know the difference between being in the spirit and being in the soul. Well, the neat thing about it in my case was that I had an electronic instrument to prove. I was down at the University of Miami, right, nearly downtown. You may know where that is. No, you were in Tampa, see? You didn't get over there. Well, anyway, and he put this stuff on, and I know that my mind was asleep, though I was awake, and I was having these visions, and that was a thrill to me. Well, I explained to him about some of the visions so far, and he said, well, he didn't believe in visions, but he had to tell me this of a truth. That when they take identical twins, and he had a couple girls that he liked to use for this particular experiment, that when he put one girl in the machine and hooked her brain up to the machine, that when he took the other girl off into another room down a hall, past two doors, had them all closed, shined the light in the eyes of the girl way down the hall, the girl on the machine gave off electricity. Proving beyond the least shadow of a doubt scientifically that the brains are connected. Now this is an actual fact. When the Titanic went down, the man jumped in the lifeboat and the woman in Kansas knew all about it. Woke up in the middle of the night. You remember stories like that in the Saturday Evening Post and so forth, and they were unexplainable. See, that was because their psyche, their mind were in such harmony, like identical twins. And you can be in harmony. Can I say you can latch on? Did you follow? You see, you can extend. You can visualize. She was obviously thinking of him, or at least had some kind of interest in her husband who was on this big ship, you know. She was in Kansas. So she was thinking about him. Her mind was on him. His mind was on her. And they made contact. In the what realm? Psyche. Next point. Was the contact of God? Can't tell. Could be. Not necessarily. It could be, you know, it was of God in the realm that my looking at you is of God at the moment. Since all things are of God, from him, through him, to him, to all things. But from the standpoint of spiritual, it wasn't spiritual, but it could have been of God. That's what I'm trying to get at. And that's why this is so hard at this stage. In other words, psychic phenomenon, parapsychic phenomenon, doesn't have to be one or the other. Like shaking hands doesn't have to be one or the other. How many of you have shaken somebody's hand and you knew it was God? Brought you together. Have you had that experience? How many of you have shaken hands with somebody and wish you weren't there? Then you know that sometimes the very same experience can be one or the other, all right? In this realm, because it's miraculous, doesn't mean it's God, but it could be. And that's where our hard part is. So the twins, it's been scientifically proven, have minds that hook together. My wife Betty was reading an article about the way the Russians are performing some psychic experiments and parapsychic experiments. And there they put the rabbit on the machine in the laboratory, the mother rabbit in the lab, and then took the baby rabbits, her babies, out on the submarine 300 miles off the coast, and systematically, at a predetermined time, exactly according to the time, destroyed or killed her babies one at a time. And the mother gave off electric charges just at the instant, proving something, you know, and well, that's not new. Barbara, every time one of her daughters is having a baby, she tells us right when it's happening. Yeah, well, a lot of times, well, not every time, but she knows just when it is. And so you can understand that, can't you? It's beyond the five senses and into another realm. Maybe of the spirit, but usually is of the parapsyche, and here's how we begin to know. If you are receiving signals in your see or smell, taste, and feel realm that are brought to you by extending your mind, it's in the psyche realm. You're thinking about that daughter. You're concentrating, visualizing. Are you seeing what I'm driving at? Then you can actually, with your mind, operate in the mind or in the para mind, beyond a parallel mind, sixth sense, Louis. And then you can hook onto that person and receive a signal. And the thing is that we now have electronic equipment to prove it. Though all we get is a little blip on the oscilloscope now, still a blip on the oscilloscope in the mind proves that they were hooked together. And if you got a lot of blips, the girl in Kansas knows all about the guy in the Titanic. Don't know. I don't think those rabbits were thinking of their mother. It's just that you're hooked. Your minds are hooked. You're in sympathy. You're in harmony. You've heard the word vibes. Harmony, same words. Your vibes, your frequency. We're on the same wavelength. You've heard this thing. Well, that's this thing. Now we can move into the spirit, but how shall we know when we're in one or the other? When we put that lady or man who is sick in the chair, when we put the sick person in the chair, and we think, visualize, concentrate, perceive that person and that healing, then we're offering a which kind of prayer, spiritual or soul prayer?
Soul
prayer. Next point, I'm concentrating, thinking about every person here. Loretta, there is something back here in your back. Right there. Have you been having some kind of kidney or back pains or something like that?
I always go to the chiropractor.
You always go to the chiropractor. Do you have... Now, I know you don't have a serious pain right now, but have you had some kind of a problem right here? All right. It's not serious. It's just a problem. And although the chiropractor can help it, I think your diet would help it more. And I'll talk to you more about it later on diet. I can help you there. What I was doing right then, my mind was very active. And I was concentrating, and just as I went around the place, I stopped there because there was something coming. When the thing with the Loretta occurred, I was just moving over there the same way, and I got the thing right here. It was in a feeling. Now, I know that was parapsyche because I felt it. And you've heard and you've seen, I know, religious practitioners stand up in the pulpit and say, someone here is bursitis because I can feel it in my right arm. You've heard that? This is not in the spirit. This is in the parapsychic realm because they are feeling it in their arm. Feel. See, here's my attention. Feel. Operating parallel to the mind, beyond the mind, yes, but parallel to it, and operating in the sense realm or sixth sense. Reaching out in the mind, yes, it's trainable, yes, it's actually sharpenable. You can sharpen the sentence, you can train it to operate in this realm. However, those psychics I know who operate in that realm of healing, the more spiritual they get, the less they can do that. It just gets harder and harder, that's all I can say. I'm going to come at it again. I find no fault with taking pills. But whenever anybody gets sick, I very definitely recommend first the dunamis type of healing, and you should pray for your healing. Then, if prayer don't work and pills do, take pills. Because that's a therapeutic type of healing. Now, there are two words in the Greek for healing. Dunamis, that's your supernatural, double whammy, and your therapeutic, and that's your pills, salves and ointments. And Jesus performed healing in both realms. But it'd be a whole lot better if we could get our dunamis healing, wouldn't it? Now, if pills are right in the physical realm for healing, is parapsyche healing all right? Yes. But when parapsychic practitioners masquerade as spiritual, what's it going to do to the very elect? Deceive them. Just like a physician can deceive you with a sugar pill. Did you catch it? So we don't find fault with any form or method of healing or technique that would bring relief to someone suffering. But we would want eventually, as we grow up, to mature by reason of use, have our senses exercised to discern psyche from parapsyche, five senses from sixth sense, and into the spirit. Now in the spiritual realm, I want to go back for just a minute right now. And at this time, I want to cut off the head and up from the heart without probing anyone. This lady is very interested in the stethoscope. Who is it? Well, all I can say now is there is a short recovery period. That means that there will be some form of a therapy and a short recovery period. Does that say anything to you? All right, you'll probably participate, but it'll be short. That is, the recovery is short, so it's not a bed-type recovery. You want to talk?
This is unbelievable. There, at the hospital, there's some doctor left one laying on the counter and been fooling around with it. It scared me. You know, been playing and cutting
out
girls in there. When you said that, you know, my heart started beating because I think that's me, but I don't know what it all means.
Yeah, but we talked about something a while back.
Put it off, and I keep...
Yeah. It'll just... Well, then, all right, you better. it's just a short thing. It's just a short recovery period. You might as well get it taken care of.
You said the Lord speaks twice. See, I'm just following your teaching. You said the Lord
Yeah, but it would be a whole lot better if it came from a different source. I prefer that it was from a different source now, because it came from me the other time too. But I have to admit, it is of the Lord. It's from the heart. It has nothing to do with the head, because I don't know anything about your stethoscopes. I've not been peeking. I don't know anything about it.
That's just funny, Lord, knows what you cut up with.
Want to work for Marion Gwinner right now, and I want to talk to Marion about control, about a control. And I see here a what I would call a throttle, and the throttle is open too much. Man, I would ask you, based on what I'm seeing, to have your dosage rechecked. Okay? I believe that you're getting better. I believe that the dosage is too much, though it was right at one time. And it was you're naturally in a harmony, but as you change, then the dosage has to change, right? Okay, I'm asking you to go back and have it rechecked. I don't know how you even do it. I don't know the procedures, but I believe that you'll be in a much better frame of mind, because too much of that can at times make you depressed. Am I right? Now, some of the depressive thoughts that have come to you are just purely on the basis of that medicine, having nothing to do with truth, only just physiological, and you can get over it by having a more a prescription, more in harmony with your present situation than the way you used to be. It's getting better all the time. Okay? If you'll notice also, the visions also always build people up, help them to, in the heart. I don't want to ruin anybody's prayer meeting for them. And if you happen to go to some home prayer meeting where they put a chair in the middle and the leader asks you to concentrate on that person, then please don't be a wet blanket. Please don't ruin the whole thing for them. Please don't try to teach them the whole lesson. Just let them go ahead and do it, and you cut off your head and get in the spirit. Is that okay? And meet the needs the best way you can. I believe spiritual things are far better than the parapsychic realm.
For a free catalog of Bible teaching cassettes and books, send your name and address with zip code to David Ebal Bible School.